Welcome to our service. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 167 for our call to worship. It is A Good Thing to Give Thanks. Hymn 167. Father, we thank you for our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for his love and mercy. Thank you that he came to earth to die in our place and to rise again to give us eternal life. Thank you that this is a free gift from your hand, not from any works on our part. It is solely by the grace and mercy of you and our Savior, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit who brings it to us. We praise you for each of us, Father, praise you for that moment when we came to know you, when we came to trust in Christ as our Savior. We're born again by the Spirit of God and on our way to heaven. And Father, we pray that if there are any here today who have not yet made that decision to trust in him, that they would do so, that they would have their eyes opened by your Spirit and would understand the way of salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, through that awesome work that he did for us at Calvary's cross. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be a church together, to be a church family. Thank you for everybody who is here today. We do pray for those who could not be with us today for various reasons, including medical issues. We do pray for your healing touch on those in need of that now today. And we pray that as we continue through this hour, you would bless in the preaching of your word as we continue our worship. Lift your name on high, pray together. May all that is said and done bring honor and glory to your name and the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. We give you thanks and praise in his name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Cleaning and decorating, getting everything ready, especially with Christmas coming, we need someone to step in and take over these activities. So if you could do that, that would be great. Just let me or Steve know and help us that we might be able to keep everything going the way it should be. Kathy has been so faithful down through the years, and we appreciate her so much for that. But if you could, that would be great. All right, let's see what else I have. I believe that's... Well, we have several other people we're praying for, and you've got that. And do be praying for the deacons meeting, that we might think of the right things to talk about and get ready for the congregational meeting. We have these twice a year, and this will be an opportunity to express yourself as to what you would like to see. Okay? All right. 1 Thessalonians. Paul to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Beginning at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much this morning for your presence with us. We know you're always with us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit guides us and leads us in the way we ought to go. I pray for each one of us today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that we might know that you are always on hand to help us in every situation of life. May we trust you. May we put our confidence in you, Lord, and look to you for the needs that we have. We pray for those today who are suffering physically. We ask you to undertake for them, strengthen them, and encourage them, and bless them. We pray especially today for Pam Jane as she is leaving the hospital, going home again, and looking forward to rehab and all of that. We pray that you will undertake for her and give her the strength and energy she needs, and just thank you for her faithfulness. And pray your blessings upon her. We pray also for Sue Ellen that you'll undertake for her and guide and help her as she's recovering from this fall and from the other problems that she's having with her breathing. We do pray, our Father, that you'd continue to help us all. You know our needs. You know each one of our hearts. You know exactly what we need, and we pray that we might trust you and look to you and rejoice in your goodness to us, even in the midst of trials and temptations. We know it's not easy, but this is the way it is. So we pray your will be done. Father, we thank you for our country. We thank you, Lord, for those who are willing to serve as on the battlefields and in other parts of the military and in all these ways, the veterans. We just thank you for those who are willing to give up their time and energy to defend our country and to keep it going. And we thank you too, our Father, for your church, for this local church. We thank you, Lord, for each one of the people who are here, and we just pray that you will motivate us, our Father, to do what needs to be done in the work of the Lord. And we just thank you for Kathy and all that she's done down through these years. And we just pray now that there'll be those who will be able to take up the task and carry on this ministry. Thank you so much for all your goodness to us. We just pray, our Father, your blessings upon your word today and upon all that we do. Bless the deacons' meeting. May the deacons know exactly what we need to do with our future work here. Help us all to work together that we might honor your holy name in all that we do. Be with our missionaries, our Father, You know their needs. We just pray that you'll supply their needs. May Christ our Savior be glorified through it all. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thessalonians chapter 5. We're thinking about this morning being ready for Christ's coming. This is what the book of Thessalonians is talking about a great deal. Paul expresses this over and over again. Each chapter has something to say about the coming of the Lord. And a good friend of mine that when I went to seminary, 100 years ago, seems like, anyway. He had an outline here I thought was pretty good. He's talking about the Lord coming. And it says, the Lord is coming, be prepared. That's the first thing. Make sure that you're ready. Make sure that you have trusted in Him as your Lord and Savior, and that you are going to be ready to go with Him. It says, the Lord is coming, be praying. Be praying. It says, pray without ceasing. Keep your minds and hearts in connection with God. Make sure you're praying. The Lord is coming. Be patient. James tells us that as well, about being patient until the coming of the Lord. He is coming. The Lord is coming. Be pure. John talks about that in 1 John, about being pure in the sight of the Lord, seeking to live for Him. Now we know we have our faults and all that, but the Lord wants us to be as pure as we can be, looking to Him constantly. And then He says, the Lord is coming, be performing. Go to work, right? Work, for the night is coming, right? So this is what we're looking at here. And we saw last week in the 4th chapter that wonderful portion of Scripture when Jesus comes back in the air with all of His angels, and that trumpet is sounded, and He comes, and we are caught up to meet Him in the air. Huh? What a time that's going to be. And now in chapter 5, He says, but, okay, of the times and seasons, we have no need to write unto you, brethren. You know, they had already heard this from Paul and from Timothy and others about the coming of the Lord. They had a knowledge of it, just as we do this morning, right? We understand that. We've heard it over and over and over again. The day of the Lord is coming. And He says, for you know yourselves how perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. A thief in the night. Boy, that sounds like it's going to happen all of a sudden, doesn't it? Something that's going to transpire that we're not expecting, you know. When you go to bed at night, you don't really expect anybody to come along and rob you, you know, breaking in and taking things. The thief in the night. So anyhow, we talk about the rapture, that Jesus is coming to take us out. And then that we are looking forward to that. But He says it's going to come like a thief in the night. And that sounds like we don't have any control over that, right? He's coming when He wants to come, when He desires, when it's all fulfilled. He comes as a thief, quietly, unexpectedly, when everything is going well, perhaps. Verse 3 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now when He talks about the day of the Lord, begins with the rapture, but then it goes on to the judgment. So here He's talking about the judgment that God's going to send on the earth, because of the sin that people have been practicing since the dawn of time. And so here He's saying it's going to happen suddenly. And when everything seems to be going well, you got peace and safety. Oh, we're so happy, right? And then all of a sudden, the Lord comes. And we have to be ready for that suddenly. So believers are not to be surprised. He says in verse 4, "You brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief." You know, we're supposed to know better, aren't we? We're supposed to be ready and waiting and serving him the way we should. One of the commentators says, God wants this day to be unexpected, but he wants his people to be prepared for the unexpected. So we need to know what's going to happen. We have the light of God's word. The word, the holy word of God that he has given to us that we can read and study and be prepared for that day when he comes. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us, right? As Christians, as believers, the Holy Spirit lives in us to give us wisdom and understanding to know how to face each new day. And we have, we are to be awake and watching. Verse 6, he says, "Therefore, let us not sleep." You know, some of us spend a lot of time sleeping. I know I do. You know, I'm getting older. And you sit down in the chair, you know, after you eat your lunch and go to sleep, right? Does that happen to anybody else? I think it probably does. Anyhow, he says we shouldn't sleep spiritually. Don't be, you know, unaware of what's happening. Be awake. Let us watch and be sober. Watch. Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Right? And here it says, watch and be sober. What does he mean by being sober? Well, have a serious outlook on life, I would say. Be sober. But then the next verse says, they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. So one of the things we as believers are not to do is be drunken, right? You say, oh, well. You know, the Bible teaches about wine and alcoholic beverages and things like that. But he says we are not to be drunk with wine. You know the easiest way not to be drunk with wine? Is not to drink, right? But anyway, that's my own personal viewpoint. It's up to you how you face that. But I think the Word of God tells us to be sober. Yeah? Have a sober way of looking at things. And don't be sleeping or be drunk so that you're not able to serve. So, here he's saying we are to be prepared. Verse 8 he says we are to be prepared as a soldier dressed in his armor, ready for battle. We are to be dressed in the righteousness of Christ with faith, love, and hope. Here, let us who are of the day, okay, we be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Okay, that sounds like somewhere else I've read. I think it's in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Here he talks about the armor of God. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, when things get bad. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So he says, put on the armor. God has provided it for us. We need to use it, right? Make sure that you are prepared for battle. And so that's the idea. So believers are secure. Notice in verse 9 of our text, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you glad? He's not going to condemn us because of anything we've ever done, anything we might do. No. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you put your faith and trust in Him, you have salvation. As Steve was speaking in Sunday school this morning about that, we have salvation in Christ Jesus. How wonderful it is to know that we can look forward to the day when we can be with Him forevermore. So we are not appointed to wrath, he says. Believers will not go through the period of wrath, the tribulation period. That's, you know, he tells us that very clearly. We believe that the believers are going to leave before the wrath takes place. I know there's all kinds of views on that. Some people say, well, there's first one thing and then the other. You know, well, you're going to get out halfway through or whatever. No. He says that we are not appointed to wrath. God put His wrath upon the Lord Jesus when He was on the cross. He died there for our sins. And we are not to go through the wrath of God. So, He's already borne it for us. We'll be delivered by the time of the rapture. Verse 10 says, Jesus died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. That's our security, right? Whether we die here on earth and go to be with Him, or whether we are raptured, we will be with Him throughout eternity. That's a wonderful thing to think about, that we have security in Jesus. He has died for us and given us salvation. So we're to comfort and strengthen one another. This is something we should encourage one another with. Verse 11 says, comfort yourselves together. Here we are, the church. Comfort yourselves together. We are saved by the grace of God. We have eternal life, and nothing can turn us away from that. We have all that we need in Christ. He says, and build each other up, even as you also do. Do you build each other up? Of course you do, I hope. I don't know what all you do all week long, but I trust that you are encouraged and building each other up and comforting one another. Sometimes I know it's easy. You know, it's too cold. It's too hot. You know, oh, I got a fever. You know, that kind of thing. Well, that's natural. But he says, no, comfort one another. Help each other. Be a nurse. Huh? Yes, we need these who are carrying out this command to comfort and strengthen one another. We all should give comfort and encouragement to one another. Then he goes on talking about in verse 12 about the leadership of the church, and have confidence in the leadership and what we're doing. He said, recognize the leaders and their authority. You know, God places certain men in leadership to guide the church, to help them. And, you know, we all face that in one way or another. Some of us more reluctant than others. Some more bold. Some, less so. But we should have confidence as we follow the scriptures and seek to further the cause of Christ. We need to have the right attitude toward the leaders. What does he say here? He says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. At least know who they are and what they're doing, right? Let's be aware of the leadership and then follow their leadership. And I would say, if you can't follow their leadership, then you need to do something about it, right? Either you leave or they leave, one or the other. We need to have confidence in those who are leading the church. Respect them and obey them, he says. Do what they say as long as it's right, according to the scriptures. It says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, for what they're doing. And be at peace among yourselves. I've been to some churches where, the people sat on this side, people sat on this side, and never the twain shall meet, right? Can't get along with one another, you got all kinds of problems and difficulties. I'm so thankful. Maybe I'm just, I just don't know about it. But as far as I know in this church, we don't have that. You love each other, do you? Yes, amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. And respect one another and serve the Lord together. Show love for your leaders and also for the people that follow. We all work together for the glory of God. Be at peace. Avoid conflicts and dissension. Don't let something fester that's going to cause problems and ill feelings towards one another. Bring it out, get it taken care of, so that we can continue to serve. So he says he gives some very practical instructions here. In verse 14, he says, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Someone steps out of line, let them know about it. And comfort the feeble-minded. Now, I know in some of the other translations it says faint-hearted. So, you can take that. Whoever has a need, in other words. Some of us are feeble-minded, I know. But, anyway, some of us are faint-hearted. So anyhow, whatever it is, comfort them. Comfort them. Support the weak. Be patient toward everyone. It says all men, but the men's in italics. So that means the ladies as well. Be patient with one another. That's what he's saying here. And have the right attitude towards each other and serve the Lord faithfully together. Be patient with everyone. Everyone doesn't do things the same way, Who's to say what is right or whether it's wrong, the way you do something? We have to be patient and do not retaliate, but we're willing to forgive and to do good to one another. See? That's what it's all about. We are a body, right, in Christ. And we all are to work together for the good of the entire body. Okay, then we see our devotion here in verse 16. It says, I love these little quick phrases that Paul puts in here. First of all, he says, rejoice evermore. No, but you don't know how things are going. I'm just having such a hard time. He says, rejoice evermore. Can you think of something to rejoice about? We've already been talking about it, haven't we? This world is not my home. I'm only passing through, right? My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. That ought to make somebody rejoice, shouldn't it? Think about that. Rejoice evermore. A joyful outlook on life. Now, we might have our moments of sadness, sorrow, understand that. But he says, rejoice evermore. Have the right kind of outlook on life. Continual prayer. Pray without ceasing. Now, what in the world does that mean? How could you ever get anything else done in life if you pray without ceasing? I don't think he means here that we have to get down on our knees somewhere and just, you know, pray and that's all you do. No. He means that we should have that prayerful outlook, that matter of turning everything over to God as it happens, right? And, you know, you don't have to have long periods. Sometimes it might be necessary. But other times, you could, just a short prayer. Peter, you remember, was walking on the water, and he started sinking. He said, Lord, save me! There it is. And Jesus did. He answers when we cry out to him. Pray without ceasing. Have your mind constantly attached to God and be ready to pray at any time. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. Now I know Thanksgiving is coming in just another couple of weeks, you know, and I should have saved this for then. But anyway, I didn't. But anyway, we always need to give thanks to God. You know, how can we be so, what's the word? Ungrateful, that's it. How can we be so ungrateful to receive all the blessings that God gives us every day and not thank him for it? Huh? We need to, in everything, give thanks. He says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is the will of God? He tells us. He wants you joyful. He wants you praying. And he wants you to give him thanks and to have the right attitude toward life. Right? That's the will of God. And then he'll guide you into whatever area he wants you to go. We need to have our perpetual thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. When joy and prayer are joined together, their firstborn child is gratitude. That's from Charles Spurgeon. Okay? We have joy and prayer going together and producing gratitude. Okay. We need that in our lives. And our direction, we are to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He says, quench not the Spirit. Don't put it out. You know? Go ahead and express what the Holy Spirit wants you to say. Follow the Spirit's leading. Don't put out the fire. Quenching. You know? So often we think, oh, well, I don't want to be a fanatic. You know. We're not fanatics. Don't worry. Just go ahead and do what the Lord tells you to do. Despise not prophesyings. Now, you're in the early church, of course, this is the way they worshiped. You know, different ones would make a prophecy or something, and you're supposed to respect that and make sure that it's really coming from God. Well, now we don't have that anymore, but we do have the entire Word of God. We are not to despise the Word of God. I know there are some that do. They just think it's another book. They think, you know, we don't have to take it seriously. You know, oh, when was it written? Oh my goodness, 2,000 years ago? Yes. And it's still the Word of God today. And we need to follow that. Hold God's Word in high esteem. And he says, prove all things. Okay? You read something in the Bible, or you hear someone say something, prove it. Make sure. Study, and we'll make sure that it is true. Hold fast to that which is good. So, you know, prove it, and then whatever is not true, then Throw it out. I'm not talking about the Bible now. But anyway, whatever it may be, test everything by the word of God and avoid anything that's evil, anything that would turn you aside from following after the Lord. So he says, and then in verse 23, it says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," or completely. Sanctification. What does that mean? Sets you apart from sin, from ungodliness, from anything that would detract from God's glory. May the God of peace work in you such a way, set you apart. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are a body, yes, we can see that. We are a soul, and we are a spirit. That's it. And we can commune with God by our spirit. We commune with others through our soul. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Put your faith and trust in him. He's going to help us through it all. Now here, it says, "Brethren, pray for us." Now this is the great Apostle Paul, you know. One of the greatest men that ever lived. And he said, "Brethren, pray for us." Everyone needs to have prayer. You know, we all do. Everyone, we should pray for those who are in authority. We think about our nation. Sometimes it's kind of hard to know how to pray about some of them. But anyway, we do pray for them. And also for those who are in authority in the church or whatever. May we all work together. And he says, pray for us. Paul needed prayer. We all do. And then he says, here we go. "Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss." When's the last time you kissed one of the brethren? Oh. No, this was the way they greeted each other back then, right? And he says, do it with a holy kiss. Have the right intentions. Make sure your attitude is right toward the other brethren and greet them sincerely. Today we shake hands, right? That's a lot easier. And but anyhow, to have the right attitude toward the other brother, the other sister, whoever it may be, make sure it's pure and with a holy, holy kiss. And he says, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren." Okay. He wants us to read the word of God and to understand it and to share it with each other. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today and pray that you'll help us to be obedient, to walk in righteousness and truth, and to love you and serve you with all of our hearts. Forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and make us what you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.